وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is our fourth session, reading from Ashru Qawaid fi Tazkiyat al-Nafs, 10 principles concerning purification of the soul by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahum Allah. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. I just want to apologize for the delay. I mean, today we were supposed to start at 7:15, but there was some kind of technical problem. Alhamdulillah, there was somebody here to help me. In any case, let's get started without any further delay. Before we look at the topic for tonight, the third principle concerning purification of soul, we'll go back and look at some of the points that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 3. The first question being, what is Al-Qa'ida Al-Thaniya, the second principle related to purification of the soul? Second principle. Naam, Umar.
Al-Du'a Miftahu Zakatun Nufus.
Naam, Al-Du'a Miftahu Zakatun Nufus. Meaning? Somebody else? Who's that? Who's talking? I hear somebody talking about. Oh, it's you, Muhammad? Naam.
Du'a, supplication is the key to the purification of the soul.
Naam. Du'a, supplication is the key. The key. Of course, this shows the great importance of a du'a. It's the key that opens the way for purification of the soul. Question number 2, discuss the meaning of the statement of Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah rahimahullah concerning du'a being a key. The statement of Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah concerning du'a being a key. Naam, Abdul Haq. First of all, what did he say, and then, yani, what is the meaning of it? Now, significance of it.
The Shaykh said, "Al-du'a'u miftahu kulli khair."
Naam. Al-du'a miftahu kulli khair. Naam.
Fakullu khair tarjuhu linafsika turiduhu min khairati dunya wal-akhirah fatlubuhu min Allahi walja ilayhi min nailihi fi laylihi bi nailihi wa
tahsilihi.
And he also said faqad wa'ada Allahu man da'ahu walja ilayhi min bil ijaba.
Now, yani Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah, he said that statement that he made in the Al-Wasiyyah Al-Sughra, that a du'a, it is the key to every khair, every good, whatever it might be. Every good, the key to it is a du'a. And this is very significant, yani, in that the meaning of it is that whatever a person wants of good, whatever you desire for yourself of good, whether it's from this world, the next life, then you should seek it from Allah. You should turn to Allah for that good, because all of it is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And this is a tremendous statement that, yani, we should apply to ourselves. Whatever we're seeking of good, then we should seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not elsewhere. Question number 3. Memorize the ayah in Surah 40th Surah, 60th ayah, in which Allah promises the one who calls upon Him that He will respond to him. The ayah, Naam, Ibrahim. Now, in the meaning, somebody else? Now, Musa.
Your Lord said, call upon me, I will answer you.
Now, and your Rabb, He said, call upon me. And He commanded us, call upon Him, and He said, and I will answer you. Now, meaning of this, significance of it? Naam. نعم وليد.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to call upon him whether we know that we need him for something or whether we think that we think we're good, that we think we don't need something for the moment.
May Allah has commanded us to call upon him whether we think we are in need or not.
Because we are always in need, so we always have to call on to Allah, and Allah is the one who answers, and we call on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone.
Call upon Allah alone. He's the one who answers. We are always in need. Na'am.
That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he promises acceptance and answering the dua with you.
Allah promised. Na'am.
And Sheikh Saad was explained that it's because Allah needs the good of his creatures that he commanded them to.
And Allah intends good for his created beings for this reason. And he called the people to that which is in their interests, their worldly life and their religious life. So he commanded the people to supplicate to him. And then he also promised that he will respond to them. This shows the lutf of Allah, yani his kindness to the people, his mercy and his generosity. Naam.
The two types of dua is also mentioned.
And the Shaykh also mentioned the two types of dua, which are?
Dua al-ibadah and dua
al-mas'ala. Dua al-ibadah. He said he ordered the people to call upon him, to supplicate him with both types of dua. Dua al-ibadah. The dua, yani meaning that a person seeks their needs from Allah by worshipping him, by doing acts of worship. And dua al-mas'ala, that the person, what? Sa'ala, yas'al. Asks Allah, requests from Allah what it is that they need. Now. Fourth question, discuss the statement of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu concerning dua and it being responded to by Allah. What was the statement of Umar radiallahu anhu? Naam, dua.
He said, إِنِّي لَا أَحْمِلُ حَمَّ الْإِجَابَةِ وَلَكِنْ حَمَّ الدُّعَاءِ فَإِذَا أُلْهِمْتُ الدُّعَاءَ فَإِنَّ الْإِجَابَةَ مَعَهُمْ.
Now, the meaning of it, somebody else? The meaning of it, what he just said, Naam, Muhammad?
He said, indeed, I do not consider the most important thing to be the response. He's not worried about the response.
Yani, I'm not concerned, the meaning of it, yani. He's not worried about, his concern is not the response, but rather his concern is?
But I consider it to be the dua, for if I am inspired to make dua, the response will come along.
No. Umar is saying, I'm not concerned about the response. I'm concerned about the dua, about me actually supplicating to Allah. Because if I'm inspired to supplicate, then the response comes along with the supplication, guaranteed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this also is a tremendous statement from Umar, and he's making us to realize that we are concerned about will Allah answer. Rather, we should be concerned about supplicating. Allah has already promised that if you call upon Him, then he will respond. Question number 5. Memorize the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he asks Allah to purify his sallallahu alayhi wasallam soul. The hadith reported by in Sahih Muslim. Naam. Naam Ibrahim.
Allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha.
Okay, somebody tell us the meaning of this. Naam.
So Allah give to my soul
is taqwa. Allah give to my soul, it's taqwa. Yani grant me taqwa. Naam.
And purify is it?
And purify it, my soul.
You are the best who purifies
it. You are the best one who purifies it. Naam.
You are the one who is in charge of it.
In charge of it.
And the one who gives it his needs.
And the one who gives its needs. The one who is in charge of it and the one who takes care of it, who fulfills its need. Naam. And this particular supplication of the Prophet ﷺ, in it there's an indication of what? Naam.
That the only tariq for tazkiyah is for asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That the only way for tazkiyah to nafs, purification of the soul, is by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one yani who can purify the soul. Yani the success in purification of the soul is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 6. Memorize the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is said to be the one he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam most frequently supplicated with. Now, somebody who didn't answer. Nobody else? Somebody who didn't answer. Tayyib, Ya Ibrahim, Fulani. Ibrahim, we didn't see you there.
Is it Allahumma?
Ya Muqallib.
Ya Muqallib al Qulub, Thabbit Qalbi ala Deenik.
Naam, and the meaning of it from somebody else. Naam, Alihi.
Turn up the heart, make my heart firm upon the religion. نعم.
O turner of the hearts, make my heart firm upon ثبت قلبي على دينك. And this is also يعني one of the most frequently used supplications of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and therefore it should be one of the most frequently used supplications for every one of us. O Allah, make my heart firm upon your deen. And there are other similar supplications with similar يعني meanings, wording slightly different, that are very important for the believer. From amongst them is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, Surah Ali Imran, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. It's also very important that we ask Allah not to cause our hearts to deviate after He has guided us, to keep our hearts firm, to direct our hearts to obedience to Him, and the other supplications that the Prophet ﷺ used to supplicate with. Question number 7, complete the ayat in the 24th surah, 21st ayat, the saying, the meaning of which is, and had it not been for the favor of Allah and His mercy upon you, and His mercy upon you. Let's try go on this side with our brother here. Oh, Sharif, mashallah, Sharif, now.
It says, may please not one of you ever have been purified, but Allah purified whom He will.
And if it wasn't for the fadl of Allah and His rahmah, not one of you would have been purified. Now. Now. And if it wasn't for the fadl of Allah upon you and His rahmah, not one of you, yani no one in the creation would have been yani purified. ولكن الله يزكي من يشاء. But Allah is the one who purifies whom He wills. And the meaning of this, yani clarification of its significance, now.
If it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor upon mankind or all of the creation, we have the tafsir in Abbas right here. But we wouldn't be guided to any good or any purification.
No. And the important thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it clear that the tazkiyat al-nafs, it is by the fadl of Allah, and He gives freely from Himself, not because somebody is entitled to it. And it is the rahmah of Allah that people, that anyone, and He is purified, that they are guided to that which is good. It is the fadl of Allah purely, yani He purifies whomever He wills by iman and tawheed and doing good deeds and so on. Now, question number 8, yani we'll come now to the explanation of this statement. Discuss the tafsir of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma for the above ayat. Tafsir of Ibn Abbas, yani for the statement, مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدَى. You alluded to it now.
No. Ibn Abbas, رضي الله عنه, تفسير هذه الآية, he says, مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مَهْدَدَ أَحَدٌ مِنْ خَلَائِقٍ لِشَيْءٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ يَنْفَعُ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ وَلَمْ يَتَّقِي شَيْئًا مِنَ الشَّرِّ يَدْفَعُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ.
نعم. That لولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته, said, if it wasn't for the fadl of Allah and His rahmah, then not one of you would have been guided. No one would have been guided. No one in the creation would have been guided, yani, to any good that he would, yani, benefit his soul by. Nor would anyone have protected themselves from any evil that he would repulse from himself, yani, due to its harm. But rather, all of this is pure.
كل ذلك إنما هو بمحض الله.
Now, rather, the, all of this, yani, the guiding to a good, every good, and the being protected from every evil, it is the pure fadl, bounty, favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not due to anybody's intelligence, or due to their station, or their status, or their excellence over others. Rather, it is the fadl of Allah and His rahmah. So whoever knows that, if we have been guided to any good, whatever it might be, the smallest or the greatest of those things, or protected from every evil, know that it is the fadl of Allah, which requires us then to be thankful, to express our gratitude to Allah. And that expression is not just in words, but rather it is in obedience to Him. Question number 9, memorize and briefly discuss the meaning of the words repeated by the Prophet ﷺ during the digging of the Khandaq. The words that the Prophet ﷺ was repeating, and something about its meaning. Yeah, Waleed.
Wallahi, lawla Allahu مهتدينا مهتدينا
ولا
ولا تصدقنا ولا صلينا
ولا صلينا. يعني by Allah, if it wasn't for Allah, we would not have been guided. We would not have given charity. We would not have performed the salah. Yani all of this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it wasn't for Allah, he said, by Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept repeating, by Allah. And he's showing the significance and importance of what he's saying here, that if it wasn't for Allah, no one of us would have been guided. No one of us would have done any good, whether it was sadaqah or salat or otherwise. Naam. And this makes us to know that al-hidayah and al-iman and the khair kulluhu, it is all biyadillahi wahdahu. Every yani bit of it is in the hands of Allah alone. And the last question, what is it that the Prophet ﷺ would always begin his khutbahs with, which makes us to know that guidance is in the hands of Allah alone? Now, Aliyu.
Whoever our guides there is none to guide, and whoever he misguides there is none to guide.
Now, and whoever Allah guides, no one can misguide him, mislead him. And whoever Allah misleads, no one can guide him. In Arabic? Students of Arabic. Naam, Sadiq. Sadiq. Bil Arabiya. Now, and this is also a tremendous statement. We hear it in the masajid of the people of Sunnah, and maybe some other people too, all the time. And perhaps we might take it lightly, because it's repeated so much. But the significance of it is beyond yani, most people's realization, how important it is. Whoever Allah guides, there's no one in the creation that can mislead them. And whoever Allah misleads, due to them turning away from the call of Allah and the guidance of Allah and the deen of Allah, whoever Allah misleads, leads astray, then there's no one that can guide them. This is very, very important. And again, it makes us to know yani how fortunate we are by the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore yani pushing us yani to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, okay, let's proceed. Allahu musta'an. Page 18 in the Arabic text. I don't know what page in the 17. Page 17 in the English translation. Okay, tonight, inshallah, we want to read the third principle concerning purification of the soul. And the Shaykh, he entitles it Al-Qa'idatu Al-Thalithatu, yani the third principle. It is Al-Qur'anu Al-Kareemu Manba'u Tazkiyati wa Ma'inuha. Manba'u Al-Tazkiyati وَمَعِينُهَا, يعني the noble Qur'an, it is the source of purification, and it is the ma'in, يعني help us, ma'in,
like a spring,
like a spring that flows with water, it is the source of that, يعني spring, of that water, يعني of the purification, يعني springs forth from this source. From this source, that is the Quran. Naam. So the foundation upon which tazkiyah is built is a tawheed. And the key to being successful in purification, it is dua, asking Allah. But the source of the purification, it is the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh, he begins yani, this principle with an ayah from the Qur'an, Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 164th ayah, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. That indeed,
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored or granted his favor to the believers. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And the meaning of this is that this is a statement of certainty, yani of definiteness. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Indeed, truly, certainly, surely, Allah has favored, He has granted His favor to the mu'mineen, to the believers. إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Yani in that, in His missioning, sending amongst them a messenger from amongst themselves. And at that time, themselves, they were the people who the Prophet ﷺ first went to, but in reality he sent to the whole of humanity. Naam. So you can say that from amongst themselves, he was from amongst those people, from the Arab, from the Quraysh. But then again, he was from the human beings, because he sent to the whole of humanity. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ. He sent amongst them رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ, from amongst themselves, يَتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. And he is reciting to them, yani the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting to them, the ayat of Allah. Yani the wording, and along with that, the meanings of those ayat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them. Not just the words, but the meaning of those words. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And he is purifying them, yani from shirk and kufr and sin and evil behavior and evil character. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. And he is teaching them the book and the wisdom, yani the Quran and the Sunnah. Concerning this ayah, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he says in the tafsir of this ayah, لَقَدْ مِنَّ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that indeed Allah has granted His favor, His grace, His bounty to the believers in sending amongst them a messenger from amongst themselves. He said, هَذِهِ الْمِنَّةُ الَّتِي امْتَنَّ اللَّهُ بِهَا عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ أَكْبَرْ النِّعَمْ بَلْ أَصْلُهَا. That this favor which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored the believers, yani His worshippers with, it is the greatest ni'mah. Rather, it is the source of the ni'mah, of all bounties and favors. This favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about here, that He has favored the believers with, is the asl, the source of every ni'mah. وَهِيَ الْإِمْتِنَانَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِهَذَا الرَّسُولُ الْكَرِيمُ. And it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored them with this noble messenger. الَّذِي أَنْقَذَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِ مِنَ الضَّلَالِ وَعَصَمَهُمْ بِهِ مِنَ الْحَلَكَةِ. Yani this messenger through whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved them from misguidance, and by whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected them from destruction. Yani it is through the messenger, the sending of the messenger with the message that he was sent with, al-Islam, the Quran and the Sunnah. It is through this sending of the messenger with this message, through him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the people from misguidance, and he protected the people from destruction. Naam, this is indeed a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, He came to the people reciting to them the ayat of Allah and purifying them by those ayat, the Quran, that He was reciting to them and teaching them the book and the wisdom, al-kitab, wal-hikmah. And some of the scholars said that al-hikmah, it is the sunnah, التي هي شقيقة القرآن. The sunnah, which is the what?
Blood brother of the Quran.
Naam. The meaning of it is inseparable. It is the other part. They go together, inseparable. Yani together they became one. And the Quran is the Sunnah is inseparable from the Quran. The Quran is inseparable from the Sunnah. And some of the scholars said the hikmah is putting things in their proper place. And some of the scholars said the hikmah is knowing the secrets, the deep meanings of the Sharia. In any case, the most common interpretation of this ayat, the Quran and Sunnah, yani of the Al-Kitab wal-Hikmah, it is the Quran and it is the Sunnah, and no doubt along with that, putting things in their proper place and understanding the Sharia is part of it. The Shaykh, he says, the greatest of that which the soul may be purified through, it is the noble Quran. It is the book of purification. It is the source, the spring, the origin of purification. So whoever intends for himself purification, then he must seek it from the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And whoever intends, whoever desires to purify theirself, there's no place to seek it except from the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, ضمن الله لمن اتبع القرآن أن لا يضل في الدنيا ولا يشقى في الآخرة. ثم تلا the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فمن اتبع هدايا فلا يضل ولا يشقى. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says that Allah has guaranteed for the one who follows the Quran. He has guaranteed for the one who follows the Quran that they would not go astray in this world and they would not be miserable, wretched. They would not be of the losers in the next life. And then he recited after this statement, he recited the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the 20th surah, 123rd ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meaning of which is, whoever follows my guidance, then he will not go astray, nor will he be miserable, wretched, or a loser. And whoever follows my guidance, that is the Quran, then he will not go astray, and he will not be miserable. It is reported in some of the books of tafsir that Ibn Abbas, yani, said in another yani expression, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed for the one who reads the Quran and acts upon what it contains. Yani, the Shaykh quoted here the statement that Allah has guaranteed whoever follows the Quran, ittaba al-Quran. In another place he said, what does the meaning of ittaba al-Quran? It means that the person reads the Quran and acts upon what it contains. To be clear, that yani, the recitation of the Quran requires action. In that case, this person will not go astray in this world, nor in the next life, as contained in this, yani the meaning in this ayat. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says concerning this particular ayat, whoever follows it, yani, then means that they must comply with what they are commanded with in the Quran. And they must avoid what they are prohibited from in the Quran. Yani, following it, ittaba, man ittaba, yani hudaya, it means that they must comply with what is commanded, what we are commanded in the Quran, and they must avoid what we are prohibited from. And in that case, the Shaykh says, this person would not go astray in this world nor in the next life. And they would not be miserable, wretched, in either this world or the next life. Rather, that person will be guided to a straight path in this world and in the next life, and that person will have achieved a sa'ada, happiness, yani success, and safety, yani, from punishment in the next life. And again, yani, this ayah and its meanings, as mentioned by various scholars, makes us to know the absolute importance of ittiba' al-huda, following the guidance. If a person wants to be free from misguidance or going astray, and from being of the unfortunate ones who will be miserable and wretched, yani, in the next life, yani, who earn the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the Shaykh mentions another ayat from 10th surah, 57th ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مَوَعِذَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the people, some of the scholars of tafsir said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مَوَعِذَةٌ, يعني أهل مكة, who the Prophet ﷺ first came to. But of course, it is extended in its meaning to humanity. O mankind, indeed there has come to you a مَوَعِذَة, يعني that is the Qur'an, which comes to warn and to exhort and to encourage the people, يعني to do what is pleasing to Allah and to avoid His prohibition. A مَوَعِذَة, that is the Qur'an, from your Lord. And it is a shifa'un, a healing for that which is in the chest. And it is a guidance, huda, and it is a rahmah, mercy for the believers. A guidance and a mercy for the believers. Now, Just briefly, a couple of comments concerning this particular ayah. Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di has a long commentary concerning this ayah, very lengthy and beneficial. I'll just read a couple of points from what he said. He said the maw'idha, yani that's mentioned in this ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ جَعَكُمْ مَوْعِذَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. He said the maw'idha, it is that which warns the people from doing those deeds which necessitate earning the displeasure of Allah. Warning the people from those deeds which lead to the punishment of Allah. And warning the people from those deeds by way of clarification of the harmful effects and the corruption that those deeds cause. He said it is a healing for that which is in the heart, meaning the Qur'an is a healing for the sicknesses of shahawat, yani desires, which cause a person not to comply with the laws of Allah. And it is a healing for the amrad, yani the sicknesses, which from the shubuhat, yani the doubtful matters, which yani cause harm or destroy yani the knowledge, with the certain knowledge which came in the Qur'an. Yani this, yani those shubuhat, the Qur'an is a healing for those yani shubuhat which affect a person's certainty. And then he said, this will also, yani that which is contained in the Qur'an of exhortation, encouragement, discouragement, the promise of Allah and the threat of Allah, yani, he said that this will necessitate that a person gives precedence to what is intended by Allah over what is intended by the self, or what is desired by Allah over what is desired for the self, such that the thing that is pleasing to Allah becomes more pleasing to the abd than one's own desires. He said that in the end of this ayat, that this maw'idha, the Qur'an, is a huda wa rahmatun lil mu'mineen. He said al-huda, it means al-ilm bil-haq wal-amal bihi. Yani the Qur'an is a huda, it is knowledge of the truth and acting upon it. Not just knowing the truth, but acting upon it. And the rahmah, yani it is that which is achieved of al-khayr wal-ihsan wal-thawab al-ajil wal-ajil liman ihtada bihi. Yani the rahmah is the good and the yani favors of Allah and the reward in this world and the next that will be achieved by those who are guided by this huda, by this Qur'an, by this knowledge and acting upon it. So the huda, yani the guidance, the knowledge and acting upon it, the huda, he said, it is the greatest, the most noble of the wasail, the means that lead to the pleasure of Allah. And the rahmah, yani that's mentioned in this ayat, it is the most complete and perfect of the maqasid, the objectives. Yani the means, ya rahmukullah, the means, the greatest of the means, yani is the guidance, the huda, and the most complete and perfect of the goals, objectives, it is to achieve the rahmah of Allah. But he said that no one will be guided by this Quran and no one will achieve the rahmah of Allah except yani the believers. So whoever achieves this guidance and whoever achieves this rahmah that comes from as a result of this guidance, then this person will have achieved as-sa'ada wal-falah wal-ribh wal-najah wal-farh wal-surur. Yani whoever achieves this guidance and this rahmah, they will have achieved happiness, yani meaning success in the next life, success and salvation and happiness and joy to the end of what the Shaykh says. After this, the Shaykh, he mentions the saying of Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah. He said, Al-Qur'an huwa shifa' al-tam min jami' al-adwa al-qalbiyya wal-badaniyya wa-adwa al-dunya wal-akhirah. Yani that the Qur'an is the healing, the perfect and complete healing for all sicknesses, sicknesses of the heart and sicknesses of the body, sicknesses of this world and sicknesses of the next life. The Qur'an is the healing for it all. And then the Shaykh mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the last ayah that he mentions in this principle in second surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, 121st ayah, saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِينَ أَتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. Yani that those who we have given them the book, they recite it, حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, yani the way it deserves or it has a right to be recited, these are those who truly believe in it. Those who we have given the book, they recite it as it deserves to be recited. Yani the meaning of yani yatluhu, yani they follow it, they act upon it the way it deserves to be. These are those who truly believe in it. Here the Shaykh says, tilawatul kitab haqq tilawa, yani as mentioned in this ayat, the yani in the ayat it mentions yatlunahu haqq tilawati. He said this tilawa of the book, yani in the way that it's supposed to be, he said it is through al-qira'a, reading it, وحفظه, and memorizing it, وفهمه, and understanding it, وتدبره, and reflecting or pondering or contemplating over it, والعمل به, and acting upon it. يعني تلاوة القرآن حق تلاوة. It is not just a person learning tajweed and mastering the rules of tajweed and reciting the Quran correctly, perfectly, and beautifully with a beautiful voice. Rather, tilawatul Quran haqqa tilawa, it means that a person recites it and they memorize it and they comprehend its meanings and they reflect upon it and they act on it. And this is as it has been explained by as-sahaba wa tabi'un radiyallahu anhum wa rahimahumullah. And then the Shaykh quotes two statements, the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Let me stop here before we read the statement of Abd al-Mas'ud and repeat again that recitation of the Qur'an, yani whether you are the one reciting or somebody else is reciting, don't be impressed with your recitation. Don't be impressed with anyone else's recitation. If they didn't understand the Qur'an, if they didn't reflect upon its meanings, comprehend it and act upon it, don't be impressed by the sound of a person's voice, the correctness of the application of the rules of tajweed. Don't be impressed with that. Rather, what is required is that a person recite the Qur'an, understanding its meaning, contemplating upon it, reflecting over it, taking time to read it with care and reflection and contemplation, and acting upon it. Yani understanding it correctly and acting upon it. This is what is yani required. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the great scholar from amongst the companions of the Prophet radiallahu anhum ajma'in wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, كَانَ الرَّجُلُ مِنَّا يعني مِنَ السَّحَابَةِ إِذَا تَعَلَّمَ عَشْرَ آيَاتٍ لَمْ يُجَاوِزْهُنَّ حَتَّى يَعْرِفُ مَآنِيهِنَّ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِنَّ. يعني they were from the people, the men, meaning the people, يعني the الرَّجُل, كَانَ الرَّجُل مِنَّا, yani a person, the Muslims in that time from amongst the Sahaba, if the person learned 10 ayahs of the Quran, he didn't go past it and memorize 10 more or even one more until he first knew the meaning of those ayahs and he acted upon them. Yani the manhaj of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, it was not just to memorize the Quran for the sake of memorization. Rather, they knew, they understood the importance of knowing its meanings. And then, once knowing its meanings, to act upon it. How can a person act upon that which they don't know? Many of the people today memorize parts of the Qur'an, whether it's yani a juz or two or 10 or 20 or the whole of the Qur'an, without knowing its meanings. Some people actually don't know any of the meaning of the Qur'an. They don't even know Arabic. But they memorize Qur'an and they recite it beautifully and they don't know its meanings. And even the Arabs also, even though they know Arabic, many, probably most, they don't also know its meanings, correct meanings of the Qur'an. What's more important is that most of the people today do not act upon the Qur'an. That is really the point, because learning Qur'an, reading it, memorizing it, knowing its meaning, the objective is to act upon it. The objective is to act upon it. So this is how the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam radiyallahu anhum, this is how they understood it. They used to learn few ayats of the Quran, make sure they knew its meaning, and that they were implementing it in their lives before they go on to learn more. And that's not to say that a person shouldn't, yani, try to memorize as much of the Quran as they can, even if they didn't know all of its meaning. But the point is that we have to keep our focus, that the goal is not just to complete memorization of the Qur'an. It's not just to complete the reading of the Qur'an. And I read the whole Qur'an, mashallah. But the point is to act upon it. And that cannot happen unless we understand its meaning. And therefore, while a person may give concentration to memorizing the Qur'an, especially if they are young, where it's more likely that they will be able to memorize the Qur'an, they should not neglect also spending some time in understanding the meaning of what they are learning. And most importantly, trying to act upon it. After this, the Shaykh, he mentions that قِرَعَةُ الْقُرْآنِ دُونَ فَهْمِ مَآنِيهِ أَوَ الْعَمَلْ بِمَا جَاءَ فِيهِ لَا تُعَدُّ تِلَاوَةً بِحَقٍ. That the reading of Qur'an without understanding its meanings, without acting upon what it contains, is not counted, is not considered as reading, tilawa, recitation of the Qur'an in truth, in reality. And for this reason, يَقُولُ الْفُضَيْلِ ibn Iyad رَحِمَهَ اللَّهِ إِنَّمَا نَزَلَ الْقُرْآنِ لِيُعْمَلْ بِهِ. Yani he said that indeed, verily, the Qur'an was revealed for this reason and this reason alone. إِنَّمَا نَزَلَ الْقُرْآنِ. The verily indeed, the very purpose for which the Qur'an was sent down, لِيُعْمَلْ بِهِ, so that it would be acted upon. It was revealed so that it would be implemented. فَاتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ قِرَاعَتَهُ عَمَلًا. And then the people, some of the people, they took its recitation to be, yani they took the recitation of the Qur'an, just reciting it, that's acting. That's not acting upon it. Rather, recitation of the Qur'an is recitation. Acting upon the Qur'an means to implement it. The point is what? That the people in the later times, they were content with just reciting the Qur'an. Yani that was their recitation of the Qur'an. It wasn't acting upon it. When in fact the purpose for which the Qur'an was sent down was to be implemented. The Shaykh, he closes by saying, وَإِذَا أَكْرَمَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَبْدَهُ بِتِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ وَتَدَبُّرِهِ وَمُجَاهَةِ النَّفْسِ وَمُجَاهَةَ مُجَاهَدَةِ النَّفْسِ عَلَى الْعَمَلْ بِهِ نَالَ مِنَ التَّزْكِيَةِ أَوْفَرْ نَصِيبٌ. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored His abd, yani it's an honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed. If Allah honored someone to recite the Qur'an, to be able to recite the Qur'an, yani to actually act upon this, yani to recite the Qur'an and to reflect upon the Qur'an and to strive against their nafs, forcing it to act upon the Qur'an, then this person, yani they would have attained the greatest or the most complete portion or share of at-tazkiyah. Yani whoever is honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to yani have the impulse, the intent, the desire, the motivation to actually recite the Qur'an and to reflect upon it and then to strive against their nafs, forcing themselves to act upon it, then indeed this person has been honored by Allah and this person would have attained the greatest or most complete portion or share of at-tazkiyah. It indeed is an honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if a person yani has been given this success to read the Qur'an and to yani seek its meanings, to understand it, to contemplate over it, yani to read ayats of the Qur'an with contemplation, with reflection, yani considering its meaning and its application, and then understanding it and acting upon it, indeed this person would have attained, they would have achieved the most complete portion of a tazkiyah, for indeed the Qur'an is the source, it is the spring, the well from which tazkiyah of the nafs yani springs forth. Alhamdulillah, yani this is the point for today, the Shaykh mentions, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant to each of us, myself first, yani success in comprehending yani these few words that we have read, in comprehending these ayahs from the Qur'an, and what we found from the Sunnah and from Sahaba and from the scholars of Islam, concerning the great importance, the station, the status of Quran and tazkiyat al-nafs, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani give us the ability, the desire in our hearts, the sincere intent, and then enable us to actually act upon yani this particular affair and to make the Quran yani dear to us, to understand its importance, and that we yani try to live by it in every day when we read the Quran. Yani let's try to make sure that we are not just reading for the sake of reading, but that in fact we are reading for the sake of acting after we understand its meaning. Indeed, success is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He grant us success to be able to do this, and may He help us, keep us firm and steadfast upon this way, yani the way of Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until we die in a condition of being pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.